Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truth and myths of the people and events that created the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Rui Frias, and I have the coolest job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. We're located on the St. Pete Pier, and the museum has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years now. And now we get to share them with you here in Radio St. Pete. So as I was wandering through the department store a couple days ago, I couldn't help but notice that the Halloween items were already 50% off, and the holiday lights, trees, wreaths, and more were already starting to fill the shelves. It's not even November yet. But this reminded me of what shopping for the holidays, or anything of the like, was like in St. Pete before 1952. Central Avenue and 22nd Street South were the boulevards of commerce. They were our miracle miles. There were no malls, no shopping centers, definitely no Amazon. Shops dotting those streets had everything you needed. And if you're wondering why there were two streets, unfortunately the city was still segregated at that time. So depending on the color of your skin is where you would shop. The lone exception was Webb City. By 1950, James Doc Earl Webb had built a seven-square-block shopping district of 77 stores off 9th Street, or MLK, and 1st Avenue South. Most of the city's population lived in or near downtown, so this made sense. But it all changes in 1952. After World War II, the city's population exploded, with soldiers and their families leaving the cold of the North and moving to the Sunshine City. Our city boundaries, well, they kept pushing west, and suburbs began popping up everywhere. Well, it became tiresome to load the family into cars and travel to downtown to shop, especially when you lived out off of 49th Street or 58th Street or way out there on Park Street. Developers eyed a piece of land along Central Avenue in what is now 34th Street. For 50 years, our trolley line had proceeded straight through this area, taking people west from downtown all the way out to Jungle Prada. And the photos that we have in our archives show the trolley traveling through what appears to be very much wooded and jungle land. The spot they chose was called Goose Pond. And depending on who you talk to or read, the area was either a desolate swampland or a natural paradise filled with water, trees, birds, and animals. But what it also was unbelievable fertile farmland. Farmers grew watermelons larger than a man could carry, so the stories go. The destruction of Goose Pond actually begins the trend of removing agriculture and natural landscapes for the growth of our city. Nevertheless, Goose Pond was filled in, and the construction of Central Plaza began. Built on both sides of Central Avenue and 1st Avenue South from 31st Street to 34th Street, Central Plaza opens in 1952 as our first shopping center. And like many shopping centers that followed, it was anchored by a Publix supermarket, although there was also an A&P market, a McCrory's Five and Dime store, and Liggett's drugstore, soon to be followed by Eckerd Drugs. It also included hardware stores, beauty salons, barber shops, clothing stores, shoe stores, and eventually a movie theater. But what it offered that downtown shopping did not was huge free parking lots and a tram that would take you from one side of Central Plaza to the other. It also offered a culinary treat, Wolfie's Delicatessen. Made famous in Miami Beach, this popular Jewish deli drew shoppers in by the thousands. But there's one more store that I vividly remember as a child. As soon as the car was in park and Mom headed to Publix and the Danish Bakery, like many kids my age, we were raring to separate from our parents and explore. And we were warned to behave and to stay away from the rat's hole. So, of course, as soon as you were out of sight, that was your first stop. The rat's hole was, well, in lack of better terms, one of the city's first head shops. You could buy blacklight posters, concert items, and of course, many things that I'm sure I didn't understand at that age. Central Plaza's popularity exploded, and that popularity started the decline of both downtown commerce and Webb City. In an ironic twist of fate, Central Plaza was soon to be eclipsed by another trend in retail, the indoor air-conditioned shopping mall. 20 years after Central Plaza opens, Tyrone Square Mall opens in 1972. And like what Central Plaza had done to downtown two decades earlier, Tyrone started a slow bleed of customers and businesses away from Central Plaza towards this air-conditioned mall. By the 1980s, the majority of stores in Central Plaza had closed. The Plaza Twin Theaters remained open, though, as long as they continued to show the Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight on Fridays. Eventually, Montgomery Ward's shut its doors in 1992. Discount retailers like Price Cutter and Family Dollar moved in. And having changed ownership several times, Central Plaza never really regained its popularity. Several pieces of land were eventually sold, including the space where the YMCA of Greater St. Petersburg would open on First Avenue North. Like in the 1950s, though, the former Central Plaza land, because of its location, is catching the eye of developers once again. Thank you so much for joining us today on Historically St. Pete, and I encourage you to tune in weekly to RadioSt.Pete.com for Historically St. Pete, and to stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the St. Pete Pier to explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City. Thanks for listening, and join us next week on Historically St. Pete.